All right, we are live on Facebook. I'm here with Alex Fiedo, and we're going to talk some baseball today. First of all, thank you so much for joining me. Alex is a pitcher. He played in high school in Tampa, Florida. He was drafted in the 40th round out of high school there in Tampa, but he decided to go to college and went to the University of Florida. He was a Gator, I must say, War Eagle at this time. Drafted by the Tigers at first, but then he was also drafted. Was it out of your junior year?
Yeah, after my junior year.
So drafted again out of his junior year in the first round by the Tigers. So made a pretty good decision, it seems like, out of high school.
Yeah, no doubt.
6'5", 230 pounds, right-handed pitcher, 24 years old. He started his first season in Double A, then went down to High A. Second year back in Double A, and put it. Had some really good numbers your second year, and that's where we're at right now, right?
Yeah, I started my first year in High and then went to Double A. But yeah, everything's going good.
It sounds like it. It sounds like
you're progressing.
Yeah, you're right on track. Let's talk about the obvious thing then. Like, everything's going good, and now we got the craziness that's going on. How is this affecting you personally with baseball?
I mean, the only thing it's affecting is my seasonally goals, like, of going out there and, like, trying to get my innings count, my inning limits, stuff like that. But besides that, I'm still able to throw, work out, do all the stuff I have to do to keep getting better. So it's just kind of just prolonging the off season, but I still feel like it's not affecting me negatively.
Well, that's good. And have you been able to, like, continue to make gains? Like, it was a long off season, or are you kind of trying to time it perfectly, or like, what's your strategy there?
Yeah, I can't really, like, think about trying to time it just because no one knows when, like, the season's going to start. So, really just trying to stay ready to, once I get the call that I'm able to get back on the mound and throw bullpens. I've been throwing the pen, like, every couple of weeks, not trying to overdo it because we could be throwing so far late into the season. Lifting-wise, just kind of took, like, a week or two of training, just getting my movements and stuff back ready to go, just because you don't lift as much in spring training and, like, during the season. So work more movement patterns, but now I'm just back to normal lifting, trying to keep getting stronger and more athletic.
Sweet. So I know I gave a quick bio of you when we started, but who is Alex Fiedo for those people who are watching? Give us, like, your baseball journey from how you started to where you are now.
Yeah. My dad, so I grew up, always around the baseball field, stuff like that. My dad's a high school baseball coach in Tampa. I don't think I ever would have thought I was going to be a pitcher growing up or anything. I don't think he would have either. We just mainly just hit and stuff. Pitching was always second. Just kind of kept progressing. Never was, like, the best player on my team or anything like that. Just always around good teammates, good talent, talented teams. Just kind of always just found a way just to keep playing. High school, just started pitching, like, my junior year. That's just kind of when the depth of the pitching rotation was a little depleted, so I had to kind of try to step up. Just kind of found my knack for pitching one kind of right away, and I just kept practicing, putting in a lot of time and effort, and then was able to keep getting better and good enough to go play college baseball, and then just keep going from there.
That's sweet. What kind of pitcher are you? Like, you throw gas, or you locate it, you know, move it, sink it?
I feel like I got a pretty good – I feel like I'm pretty balanced with, you know, everything I need to be. I feel like I get pretty good run on the ball. I feel like I throw hard enough. You know, we're always trying to throw harder. Breaking ball has always been my bread and butter since I started pitching. And then my changeup's a little too inconsistent. But, good action, just a little too hard. The biggest thing I'm trying to do is slow it down so that I get more separation between that and, like, my fastball and breaking ball. But really, just, you know, you have all these things that you're trying to work on, but when I'm out there pitching, I just try to just win games and eat up as many innings as I can, try to help the bullpen out, and just try to be a good teammate.
That's sweet. Do you happen to have a ball handy by chance?
Yeah, I do. Oh, you told me that too. I can go get one. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'll be right back.
So, like I was talking about before, Alex was drafted out of high school in the 40th round, made the decision to, and it had to be a hard decision. I might ask him when he gets back, but he made the decision not to go. Went to college for 3 years at Florida. And, you know, it's a big deal, risking, because that could be, you know, your one potential to play professional baseball. Obviously, it came back, drafted, so his decision paid off big time. We'll talk more about it here in a second when he gets back, but that's super cool.
All right. Yes. All right, I got one.
I just wanted to see your
– It's a bad ball, though.
That's good. Work. The kids love to see – whenever I put up a video on YouTube or anything and I talk about pitches or pitching grips, it blows up. The kids love seeing it, and they want to know. So can you go through your pitches, show us how you hold it, grip it, and what you're thinking about when you're throwing it and what you're trying to accomplish when you're throwing them?
Yeah. I can try my best. Basketball, I kind of only throw four seams right now. Let's see if I can get it. I don't know, really. I try not to think, but when I try to think about my fastball too much, honestly, I think I said to get in my own head. I just kind of like to grip it and rip it. Not in, like, the aspect of trying to throw as hard as I can and not throw any strikes, but just more of, like, just, you know, just being natural with it, not trying to be a robot. So kind of right here, my finger sometimes tucks a little bit, but kind of just, like, rests right there on, like, that little thumb knuckle. I mean, I like to grip my fastball hard, and, you know, I've been trying to get on top of the ball a lot more. In college, I kind of threw a mix between, like, sinkers and four-seamers, but when pro ball happened, they kind of wanted to teach that, like, carry effect. So I moved from my first year, my fastball tilt was, like, at a 2 o'clock angle. So now it's, like, a little bit more towards one. So I actually – when I get the ball down, I get good sinking action, but then I can still pitch up in the zone and still get that ride, which is nice. So the biggest thing there is just for me to know what I'm trying to accomplish. Like, if I'm trying to get a swing and miss, yeah, I should go up. Or if I'm trying to get, you know, early contact or a good quality pitch, stay down. Just that, it just isn't great to be in the middle of the zone thigh high with that. You know, that's what we're working for. And when I go to breaking ball, same breaking ball I've thrown, as my dad taught me, you know, whenever I learned it, I just kind of throw right on the horseshoe. I just kind of have it there. My thumb, you know, on the other side. I grip the crap out of that one too. When I bring it out of my glove, I just kind of think about cocking my thumb down. And I try to keep my wrist really stiff and just rip the front of the ball as hard as I can. So a lot of people think, kind of like my strategy is in my head, it's almost like a 12-6 breaking ball, but it doesn't come out like that at all, which I think it's cool to see, like, the edutronic camera, stuff like that. But if I try to mimic what, like, the edutronic says, that I throw the ball off, like, the side, so I create that, like, gyro spin. So, like, my efficiency is under 10% on my breaking ball for the, you know, most of the time. And so it'll get that, like, dropping straight down effect. But that's not what I try to do, which is cool, but – you know, I think that's my way of compensating, being able to create that second plane. Changeup. I was throwing a lot of two-seam changeups. I like the action on it. It's too hard. It gets good movement, but it's just the spin of the two-seam and the four-seam fastball just look too much different. So I'm trying to work on throwing more four-seam changeup. I was messing with it today. And I kind of moved my, like, middle finger and ring finger over here more. So I kind of almost had, like, the Vulcan feel. And was just trying to throw it off the inside of my middle finger and off my pointer finger. Guess the only weird thing I do with my changeup is I kind of touch my pinky and my thumb, which is kind of weird. But I like to grip it, you know, the ball tight and stuff. So I think that's my way of feeling a little bit more comfortable holding the changeup, trying to hold it looser to get some, take some speed off it. But I don't want to say that's like a work in progress because I feel really confident with that pitch, but it's definitely something I just need to throw more. I'd like to get it more to like 15-20% of the time. And I think that would just make all my other pitches play up better.
That's sweet. Those are beautiful. You're very similar to me, except I went away from the four seam and went to the sinker. Gripped it very, very tight. You always hear coaches say, grip it loose, hold it like an egg, grip it
loose.
Like, I'm very firm in the grip.
Yeah.
Same thing with the curveball, or I threw a slurve.
Yeah, I think that comes with, like, I think that's why so many people that grow up, you see these guys that are really good fastball changeup guys their whole life, and they try to learn breaking ball, and it just doesn't come naturally. And I think it's just because they're so used to, like, finesse, like, soft. But then, like, me growing up, and I'm fastball slider, and I'm trying to squeeze every pitch as hard as I can, and, you know, create a good friction on the ball that, like, once I have to try to slow it down, and slow the friction and the spin, that's just like a newer concept to me. So I think actually a good thing would be to learn how to throw a ball more in my palm, like a palm ball. But that's going to be a work in progress. That would be probably something we could toy around with. But I haven't talked to anyone that throws a true palm ball. I know my dad just sent me a video of Trevor Hoffman, and he was explaining how he moved from a circle change, like a traditional circle change, more into a palm ball. So I need to kind of look into that. Because I think that would allow me to grip the ball really tight and still be able to throw it with good arm speed and maybe still take off some speed.
Yeah, he was with the Padres my first year. He was still pitching.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He came over and showed us all his changeup. And it was, like you said, very deep into the palm. Mm-hmm. And almost off to, like, the side of his hand almost.
Yeah.
And obviously one of the best changeups ever.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the best. It was, yeah. My dad always said, like, I got to see a little bit of him, but he was like, you could – he was one of those guys, like how Mariano Rivera is, like, everyone knows cutter's coming, everyone knows changeup's coming. Right. No one's going to hit it. And, like, you know, that's elite. I mean, he's got one of a kind changeup, but, like, you know, that's what we're working for.
And as a closer, too, like, you think
of – yeah, which is crazy, too, because all you see is fastball, and this guy's not saying his fastball isn't good or anything, but, you know, he's able to change the game a little bit.
You know, my changeup was terrible always, too, and then I went to a Vulcan – wasn't great. What I did find some success in was a split finger, though, and I think a fork ball. But what I think it goes to what you said was I was a throw it, you know, grip it pretty, throw the heck out of it. Same thing with the slurve and the fork ball. I was able to do the same thing, so I didn't have to have
that pass with it, you know? Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. Like, I don't want to ever try to throw a splitter. I know how it is on your elbow. I don't even like the feeling of having the ball like deep in there like that. But the so, like, I think that would almost defeat the purpose for me just because I know splitters are usually hard pitches. And that's what I'm just trying to get away from. So, I definitely think that could be good for someone. Just for me, I think that's just different and something that I'm trying to – I mean, eventually I would like to go with slow curveball, and I think that would be something pretty easy for me to pick up on. But I don't want to just be curveball, slider, fastball, and still working for a changeup, which it'd just be better to just keep putting emphasis on the changeup because I think the curveball could come in, you know, a month or during the season or in the off season, just be able to flip one in there for a strike.
What is your, what was your top, like your highest velocity?
I don't know. In college, I think the hardest I threw was like 98. College, everything's like so rah-rah, stuff like that. So like, you know, every game feels like, you know, you're on national television or you're on like watch ESPN and you're just trying to throw as hard as you can. Sometimes, you know, come out of the bullpen or something, you know, you're just letting it rip. But then pro ball, it's a little different. My first year, I took too much time off, so I was way behind velocity-wise. My arm just didn't feel right. But last year, I got up to – I mean, I got in the scoreboard readings at, like, 96. But I'm more of, like, a 90-94 guy, pitch at that. But then, you know, every once in a while, you know, we can let them eat and get them more than that. This spring training, I was getting really excited because each outing – during camp, I went 1 mile per hour higher. So, like, my last outing, I was up to 95, like, or it was, like, 94.7 or something. But, you know, it reads it one up. And so that was cool. So I think I'm, like, one tick away and mechanically where I think my body's moving really well again. And a lot of credit to the Tigers strength and conditioning and the training staff and then also where I train the offseason at Diesel Fitness in Tampa. My body's working so much better again. That I think I'm just like one easy like fix away from like really having good electric stuff. So I'm almost there.
What would you attribute to your velocity development over the years? Is it more mechanics that were instilled into you from your dad at a young age, or is it more the strength and conditioning? Did you see a big jump at any point? Like, what? How did that all develop for you?
Yeah, my biggest jumps, like, so when I started pitching, I didn't throw very hard or anything, but I'm a big believer in long toss. I think you should long toss like 2 or 3 times a week at least. And that's just depending on if you're throwing bullpens. If you're not throwing pens or throwing off the mound like in games, then you could probably even throw it more. I thought that helped me a ton when I first started. I think strength and conditioning helped a ton too. I'm not 230 anymore. I'm more like 210 now. But my body fat from being drafted at like 21% is now down to 13%. So I've been putting a lot of – I actually measured it in today. So it was 13.9. So I was really excited about that. I think I'm going to order me a pizza and congratulate myself. But I'm lighter now, but I'm starting to put on muscle again. But my body moves a lot better. But I think like squatting and stuff's tough for me. Just I had double knee surgery, and that doesn't really bother it, but like I don't really like it. I like more single leg stuff. So like Bulgarians, I'm a huge fan of. Like we did reverse lunges today with the barbell, but I definitely think that a good mix between like in your mobility and your body moving right, and then also loading up and trying to get stronger, and then incorporating that with some long toss and consistency. I think that I feel like a lot of guys, especially in like high school and maybe early college, the reason why they get hurt and stuff is they're not throwing too much. Everyone says, "Oh, you need to take all this time off. You need to take this time off." When I think that like you can take time off, but just keep your arm moving, move like 60, you know, throw 60 feet every couple of days or something like that, even during your off season. And, you know, if you can keep up your throwing 5-6 times a week, your arm's going to naturally get stronger because, you know, you're training those muscles.
That's funny you say that. One of the best seasons that I ever felt, I was actually coaching. So I was throwing a lot of BP. And mm-hmm. I was like, my arm feels great. And
I'm yeah, throwing- that's the thing. Oh my. That's the big thing. My dad always told me, if you don't use it, you lose it. So, like, and I think that's what really hindered me my first year of pro ball, because I took off. So when I signed, I threw a ton of innings, a lot of breaking balls and stuff my last year of college. So the Tigers were just like, oh, you know, we're going to slow it down. And I think that was great. I've been healthy since, no arm problems. So I don't think that there was anything wrong with that. I think that was a great idea. But I think it would just what should have been on me to get ready earlier for that next spring training. I just was behind. I almost took it as like, oh, you're getting ready in January for spring training. That's where everyone else does. But I forgot that everyone else ended, you know, 2 months later than I did. So I was just behind. That hurt me. And then last year I got ready way early, felt really good. And this year I even started earlier than that, which kind of stinks, just because, I mean, I felt good. I felt like I was rolling. My arm felt good. And then everything paused, but it's not going to affect me because I don't mind throwing. I love throwing. So 6-7 days a week now, my arm will be just as strong, if not stronger, by the time once we get back.
Nice. And like I said in the beginning, you were in AA last year, put up some really good numbers. Like what were you expecting coming into this year if everything was normal? Were you expecting to break with the big team out of spring, or hoping for an early call up or a late call up? What did you have in your head?
Yeah, I mean, I was in camp, which was nice. I think I was going into my last outing. I don't think that I was going to go up there and be a non-roster guy that broke with the team. I wasn't making starts or anything. I was coming out of the pen. More of an experience thing, throwing against really good hitters, being around a really good clubhouse, the cool teammates, you know, the guys with the big league club. I spent a year and a half in Erie, which is our double A. I think I showed enough improvement and was able to learn enough to, you know, get my chance at starting in AAA. But regardless, it doesn't matter wherever you go, you got to pitch. That's stuff that's out of your control. So my thoughts would have been Toledo, but at the same time, you know, you just got to do your job every 5 days. As it comes to like big league call-ups, stuff like that, I try not to put any timetables on that, just because, you know, then you're not focused on what you're doing right now. My biggest thing is whenever the Tigers, front office or the big league coaching staff thinks that I'm ready to go and I can help make an immediate impact to the big league club, that is when I get called up, because I think the biggest thing is not how quickly you get called up, is about staying. So I want to just, you know, just be ready to, you know, make it up and stay with the big league team and help them win games and help create a good culture and environment of winning. So however long that takes, hopefully it would be this year. If not, then hopefully next year, you know, whenever that happens.
That's a great mindset to have. In fact, I was just talking to a former big leaguer, and we were talking about the concept of the mindset of, like, making it and sticking. And we were saying that some of the best players have the mindset of not just making it to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Sticking. Like,
we're just getting started. Like, yeah, we've been playing baseball a long time, but this is like you're still every time, like, you know, you play college, you play all these years and then you're like, you get drafted. It's not like, oh, you just got drafted, it's over. It's like, well, now you gotta start a new grind. It's like a new chapter to your book. And then in minor leagues is the grind. And, you know, once you make it, you can't just stop there, because you're going to go right back to the minor leagues. It's, you know, it's dog eat dog out there. So I think you just have to have that mindset. And it doesn't have to be a mindset where you're, you know, too cocky or conceited or a selfish player by any means. I'm very against being like a selfish player, stuff like that. So I think it's just being up there and just knowing that like that you can help contribute to the team, and you know, you have that confidence.
That's awesome. That's so well said, and perfect for what we were talking about before. Let me ask you this. When you got into big league spring training, was there any animosity, or maybe that's not a good word, but was there any like fear or self-doubt or anything like that? Like maybe I don't belong here yet, or you felt totally comfortable and you went in there and you were just doing your thing?
No, like my first year I was lucky enough to go to a big league camp for the first like week or two. That one felt weird just because that was more in the contract of signing. Hey, you know, we're going to bring you up there. That wasn't something that I necessarily like earned. It was just something that was given to me. So once, you know, that happened, I just didn't really understand looking back on it, I didn't really understand how cool it was or how big of a deal it was. Cause I mean, then you start to talk to the other minor league guys that you play with, like, oh, you're lucky. And like, oh yeah, I really am. I didn't think of it like that. And then, so my second spring training, I didn't get invited to big league camp, and I wasn't mad or anything about the organization. Like I just understood, like, they didn't think I earned it. So had a really good spring training. I just kind of like took that towards the season. We have a ton of really good pitching prospects. We have a ton of, you know, like really good players. And I think they like help motivate me every day because like, I feel like we know how good we can be. And we have a really strong group of, you know, 10 pitchers, like even just, we have a ton of relievers too, but like 10 starting pitchers in this organization, if not more, that are all really good. I could see pitching and helping in the big leagues in the future. And so I feel like we just do a good job. Like they stay on me, I stay on them. And, you know, I think the iron sharpens iron really helped me in spring training last year and during the season, being around those guys. And then helped allow me to earn a spot on the non-roster invites this year during spring training. And then so I felt like I belonged. You know, I felt like I put in the work and put up the numbers to be, you know, able to go to camp. And when I was out there pitching, I mean, the only thing weird is that sometimes it's weird when you face someone that you know. I'm a baseball junkie, so like I see guys that I watch on TV and it's like, wow, like that's pretty cool. But just getting back into baseball was the weird part, just because like you take 5-6 months off of games and then you're back in there and it's just kind of thrown right at you. But it's a lot of fun. The big league camp games are so much more fun than the minor league ones. They actually feel like real games. The minor league camp, man, those stink. Hopefully I don't have to go to any more of those, but yeah, we'll see.
That's a good goal to have for sure. Man, your mindset is so on point. You're light years ahead of where I was at your age. How come, I guess is the question. Like, did your dad instill that into you at a young age? Is it something that you picked up along the way? Do you do any kind of training or anything like that for your mindset? Where is this coming from?
No training, nothing like that. I think, I feel like I give my dad a lot of credit, but that's just because we're talking baseball. My mom handled most of the other stuff, so my mom gets a lot of credit too. I don't know. I think my parents did a really good job. I got a really good group of friends. My girlfriend does a good job, you know, keeping my head on straight. I feel like I just have a good circle. I feel like, you know, it's never been about going and making money, stuff like that. It's just always been about having fun, you know, winning games and just, you know, seeing how good you can be. And I think that I guess just give all the praise towards, you know, my circle, my group of people that helped bring me up this way.
That's a great answer right there. Let's talk about
coaches. I've had a lot of coaches too. Got to give them some credit.
Oh, for sure. Now let's talk about, I'm sure along your path to this point, you've had some struggles. Are there any specific struggles that you can remember that you had to overcome in baseball or in life, whatever?
I mean, I'm not going to go into any like sob stories or anything during life. I've been very blessed to have a, you know, a great family, you grow up in good neighborhoods, stuff like that. So that's all been good, you know, besides just normal life problems, like nothing out of the ordinary. Baseball wise, I mean, college wise, I mean, I never really had problems. I think that, I mean, everyone struggles and stuff like that, but that's just part of it. I don't know if that's necessarily like a problem. That's just like a learning curve. In pro ball, my first year, once I got moved up, we did a lot more they did a lot more like analytic background work on me. And then like Tiger saw a lot about things that I could do you know, differently or more efficiently in my delivery. So I started I pitched fine through the Florida State League, but with not very good stuff. And when I got to Double A, I think they were just like, hey, you showed us that you compete, you did a good job, but like now it's time to get your stuff back. Let's try to you know, work on these things that we think are hindering your success. And the so that second half of the year in 2018 was tough just because I was working on things like staying on top of the baseball, or like how, like not hunching over with my back, or like working on more T-spine mobility, and like all these things. Some like one out of every four games would click and I'd have a really good game. But then, you know, there'd be three games where I give up like four homers, which would be like solo homers, hitters league. I'm going to throw some excuses out there, but no, but no, just like didn't put up the numbers that I thought I should have out there. And, you know, you get a lot of heat from people, and that's why like I would suggest to people, like, you know, don't be typing your name in on Twitter. Don't be worried about what the outside noise says. Just keep worrying about like what your teammates, you know, your coaching staff thinks of you. But, you know, just so I feel like, you know, I got a lot of heat for that, but it was like, hey, this is the first time in my life it hasn't been just about winning, winning, winning. And they want to instill, you know, a couple months of development. Hey, like this will help you in your future and trying to help you be the best big league pitcher you can be. And so like, I kind of had to just wear a couple bad outings or half a year of bad outings. And that's tough as being a competitor, but then in the long run, taking the things I learned and then bringing them into where I train at and kind of morphing those together. Hey, these are the things the Tigers want me to work on. These are the things we work on. Let's like blend those together. You know, let's blend that into a throwing program, how I lift, and then, you know, how I sleep, how I eat. Let's put it all together. And then that's that off season really propelled me for my second year at pro ball. And, you know, it was a lot more successful. I think that this year will be even better than last year. You know, you just got to keep building and trying to get better.
It sounds like it, man. It sounds like you're on the right path, and I'm excited to watch you.
Thank you.
In the future, man. Let's take it back though. Let's take it back to the first time you were drafted out of high school. Mm-hmm. And tell me about the feeling that you had when it happened. Also, was it a tough decision to not go? And then also, what was the feeling the second time you got drafted?
Yeah. Well, the first time I got drafted, so once I committed to Florida, I knew that, and the way that I had a good senior season, but you know, a couple things happened, like got in a bad car accident, stuff like that. So I missed some of the season. I didn't really think I was going to, I wanted to be a first round pick out of high school. If I wasn't going to be a first round pick, I just wanted to go to college. I wanted to have that experience, go play for Sully. You know, he's done a great job with a ton of pitchers, get to go play in the SEC. We had a number one recruiting class the year before. So I just felt like that was like, man, this is a really good opportunity to, you know, play in front of TV, or in, you know, games that are on TV, and then play against the best of the best college competition. And I knew I wasn't going to be a first-round guy. I think I was going to be more like a fifth- or sixth-round guy. And so I set my numbers super high. Obviously, wouldn't have got any calls. Like, that was one of those things where I didn't deserve that amount of money. That would have just been like someone was poor at their job and signed me. And the 40th-round pick by the Tigers is more of like, just like a hey, we see you. You know, we like what you've been doing. You know, we want to keep, like, the contact, you know, open between us. You know, hopefully we can see you again in 3 years. It's just one of those things. You're really nice of them. And then when I got drafted three years later, I didn't get to watch the draft, so I had no like influence on where I was getting picked or when. But I was pitching in game three of the Super Regional. So I threw game one, and then once we got to game three, because of all rainouts and stuff, we just had to throw everyone we had, and I was able to close out that game to send us to the World Series. And then I didn't find out I got drafted until after that. So I got drafted during the game, which is a really cool experience. You know, so I feel like that I'm one of the only people that's ever had that happen to, you know, be able to close the game out and go to the College World Series and, you know, get drafted in the first round on the same night. It was just really cool.
Wow, that's amazing. That had to be.
Yeah, it was a really good experience to share with my friends and family. Everyone was there. I had friends come up from Tampa to come see the game, stuff like that. And then I had family come up, you know, to watch the game and see me get drafted. And I had my teammates that were there that were able to celebrate with me. And it was just an awesome time. You know, after the game, obviously everyone went out, and in Gainesville we all had a good time, celebrate, stuff like that. So it was really cool.
That is awesome. Now, who were some of your role models growing up? Like, I used to look at a lot of players, and I was more intrigued not by what they were doing on the field, but more their story, their success stories, and what they had to come to get to where they were or where they, you know, are. Mm-hmm. That's what motivated me. Who were some of your role models, and why were they motivational to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest role model I had growing up was in high school. I went to the same high school as Jose Fernandez did, and my dad being the coach, once he got there his sophomore year, I was able to build like a really unique bond with him, almost like a little brother bond. And you know, just being able to see how hard he worked, no one gets, people around here can appreciate it because they got to see it every day from when he was 16 years old, but not many people get to see it, you know, just watching him on TV, but how hard that guy would work every single day. I went from this little lazy fat kid to that didn't even pitch to watching how he worked. And even it took years after he even left, because it was my friend. I only got to play one full year with him or go to school with him for 1 year. So not even until my junior year, which I've already known him for 3 years, did I even instill any, you know, half of the work ethic he had. So, I mean, he was so focused. He knew what he wanted, the goals he wanted to achieve. You know, he was a great person, great human, and, you know, a tremendous player, competitor. And that was a really big impact on me, you know, during this process.
So you talked about him being like an older brother to you. Obviously your mom and dad were a great influence on you. What advice would you give to parents of younger baseball players who are, you know, might have the aspirations of playing professional baseball one day and being where you are? What advice do you give to the parents to help those kids have the success?
I mean, I think kids are going to be kids. We're like, you know, every kid, and, you know, at a certain age is like over playing a sport or something like that, and they don't want to. I think being able to, you know, they want to go do something different, you know, go chase girls or something in like middle school. You're like, oh, I don't want to go to practice. I want to go to the mall or something. And I think the biggest thing is just being able to keep them, you know, happy with the game and like loving the game. So like, if you're, and you see all these guys that are really talented, you know, stop working hard, but like, just find a way to be tough on your kids and, you know, have them work hard, but still at the same time, be able to, you know, play other sports at the same time and, you know, still love playing baseball, whatever sport they're doing, so that they can have a passion for it. Cause once you go to college, it's a different animal. Everyone's like, oh, I think I could have went to college, I could do this. And you, I just think that I'm like, I don't think you have what it takes to play college. We're not just play, but just, you know, the daily grind of waking up early, lifting, going to classes all morning, all afternoon, then going and practicing, and then study hall, and then, you know, redo it again for 3 straight years, and could be even longer for some guys. So I think you just got to really love it. I think you just got to help motivate your kids. But I think your kids just kind of also at the same time have to have the if factor.
That's a great point. Where do you see yourself in, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What do you like to look in the future that far, or are you just kind of going day by day, or where do you see yourself?
Oh, man. I mean, I try to go day by day. I mean, hopefully 5 or 10 years in the future, I got to, you know, everyone, all my friends, family, everyone's safe, healthy. I mean, geez, I hope I'm still playing baseball. That's not too long from now. I want to play as many years as I can in the big league. So, I mean, once we get there, hopefully, you know, 5 or 10 years, I'm still there, you know, still getting better and trying to, hopefully we have a ring by then, but, you know, keep competing for rings.
Man, Alex, let me tell you what, your mindset and your whole energy and your vibe and attitude and everything, I love it. I see nothing but huge things in your future.
I appreciate that.
I just can't wait to watch now that we have this, relationship. So that's really cool for me. So thank you very much for coming. Oh,
yeah. Is what I'm trying. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for reaching out. It was a lot of fun. I always like talking about, you know, baseball or back in college, stuff like that. You know, it's good, especially during this time when we got nothing else to do and there's no sports on.
Well, we can do it anytime you want to, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you let me know.
Thanks so much, and keep up all the great work, because obviously whatever you're doing is working. So,
yeah, we'll do. Keep working hard.
Last thing. Where can people follow you at?
I mean, I have Twitter, I have Instagram. I need to do a better job at at posting stuff like that. I mean, I'm on it. I just kind of just forget to post. But I mean, I'm there. And I think eventually I'll be a little better at that, but I just don't take a lot of pictures. And, but I mean, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, just my name. I'm pretty basic right now, but you know, I can promise, I guess I'll get better in the future.
Well, it's at Alex Faedo, which Faedo is F-A-E-D-O. So check him out. And thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Be safe.